Today is an important day. It's a great day, actually. We are joined by several special guests, and I want to begin today's session by welcoming them to our chambers. First up, we have our Wisconsin's very own Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. Also joining us today is Mike Thompson, the Deputy Superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction. And on behalf of the Assembly, we'd like to extend a heartfelt welcome to all the members of the State Senate who are joining us here today. The most important thing that we are doing today is to make sure that we respect the relationship that we have between the sovereign nations of Wisconsin, those First Nations, and the state of Wisconsin. We have done this for years now, and I think it's an important tradition for all of us to respect. I am very proud to introduce Chairwoman Lori Bovine, who is the Chairwoman of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin, who will give the first State of the Tribes address today.
So, hello and good afternoon. My name is Lori Bovine, and I do serve as the chairwoman of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin. And I am honored and humbled to deliver the 2014 State of the Tribes Address to this joint session of the Wisconsin Legislature. And I offer my gratitude to all our honored guests here today. On behalf of all 11 sovereign nations, I would like to extend our gratitude to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate President Mike Ellis. I would also like to recognize and thank the Senate and Assembly, Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, and Cabinet Secretaries for your participation here today, especially Secretary Mike Hepsch. I got to move up. I'd like to say a special Wawanan to our intertribal drum, Mr. Ron Korn Jr., for providing the invocation, and his daughter, Saywin Korn, for the Pledge of Allegiance. Saywin means sweet in Menominee, and she sure is. I'd also like to thank and say a special Wawanan to all of our tribal members from our sovereign governments that have traveled to be with us here today, especially my fellow Menominees who traveled long to be able to be here. Thank you, Wawanan. It means a lot. To my respected colleagues, thank you for your attendance, and I'd ask you to stand as I call your name. Chairman Wiggins, Bad River Band of the Lake Superior Tribe of Chippewa Indians. President Molson, Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. Chairman Delgado, Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin. Chairman Isham, Lacouture Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa Indians of Wisconsin. Chairman Frank, Forest County Potawatomi. President Miller, Stockbridge-Munsee Community. President Green Deer, Ho-Chunk Nation. Vice Chairman Gordon, Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa Indians. Chairman Taylor, St. Croix Chippewa Indians of Wisconsin. And lastly, Chairman McGeezik, Sakagan Chippewa Community. Well, Wannon, for letting me do this today. And last, but certainly not least, I would like to thank our Veterans Color Guard carrying the staffs and flags that represent our great nations. Furthermore, I would like to take this time to honor all Native warriors and non-Native veterans who serve or have served in the United States military. They secure our freedom and ensure our protection in times of peace and conflict. Of equal importance is the celebration of our tribal code talkers who served during World War I and II, as acknowledged by the passage of the Code Talkers Recognition Act of 2008 that directed the medal to be struck to honor the valor and dedication of Native American code talkers. Three of our nations here today, the Ho-Chunk, Oneida, and my tribe, Menominee, were honored on November 20th, 2013, during the Congressional Medal Ceremony. Our Native men and women across America respond strongly to the call of duty through an inherent need to protect the future resources of our people and our nations. This fact remains evident as many of our Native warriors continue to step up to protect our freedom in ever-increasing numbers. Finally, I would like to honor our children and our elders. As nations, we strive to follow in the footsteps of our ancestors to preserve, protect, and respect the resources and culture of our Native people. We cannot begin to know where we are going if we do not honor the teachings of our elders. It is our responsibility to pass those teachings on to our children, who are our future, and you see Ron Korn Jr. doing that with his daughter, Saywin. It's great. So what is the purpose of the annual State of the Tribes address? Each year, one of our nations is given the opportunity to address you, the leaders of state government. This is done so we can bring about awareness and develop a dialogue on the status of Indian people in Wisconsin. We also welcome this as an opportunity to discuss with you how we see our relationship between the state of Wisconsin and the 11 sovereign nations. Many of you are fairly new to state government and may not have had an opportunity to work with us tribal leaders or our membership. I would invite you to visit each of our tribes in order to gain a deeper understanding of our composition, our culture, laws, and issues of mutual concern. The cornerstone of the state-tribal relationship is founded on the establishment of Executive Order 39, which provides for state government-to-government consultation with tribes. As tribal leaders, we take these unique consultation opportunities to engage with the state as partners to address important issues that affect and impact our nations. However, this is not the only mechanism utilized by the tribes to enhance our tribal-state relations. The State Tribal Relations Study Committee has also proven to be a very valuable communication mechanism that aids the tribes and state in furthering common state-tribal priorities and initiatives such as land, resources, and culture. I commend you for your commitment to working on state legislation to address some of our mutual concerns. Within these avenues used for communication, whether it is consultation with executive agencies, consultation with legislative members and leadership, or joint communications through study committees, task forces, or organizational membership, we as tribal leaders come to the table to work in good faith as partners with the state. You often hear our dialogue reflecting the fact that each tribe is distinct based on our culture, governmental structure, socioeconomic conditions, and resources. I just want to give some positive outcomes of the tribal-state relations. So I've already mentioned the work. Now I'd like to go into three pieces of legislation that were introduced last year. One bill addressing the transport of wild game off our reservations was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. Thank you for working with us to address an important sovereignty issue. Need a lot of water up here. Two more bills are still pending. Assembly Bill 31, relating to allowing American Indian tribes and bands to insure property under the Local Government Property Insurance Fund, and Assembly Bill 32, relating to tribal treatment facility participation in the Intoxicated Driver Program. If passed, each of these measures will give tribes greater opportunities to participate in state programs. While discussion continues on the components of these bills, our tribes would ask you to remain cognizant of the individual tribe's jurisdiction and sovereignty. The avenues of communication have always taken other forms, such as compact negotiations, special initiatives, and meeting with Governor Walker. These avenues provide additional opportunity for the tribes and state to identify issues, potential strategies, and to work in good faith toward solutions to our common concerns. Child welfare. This is an extremely important focus for our tribes. The responsibility of raising and caring for our children does not end with a child's parents, immediate or extended family, but it is a responsibility of the entire tribal community. When the unfortunate situation arises that children are not cared for by their families, all our tribes share this sentiment. It is critical for the well-being of that child to be raised within the tribal community by other capable tribal members to ensure an accurate understanding of tribal history, culture, and our values. This federal law, referred as the Indian Child Welfare Act, was reinforced by the state legislature and is recognized as the Wisconsin Indian Child Welfare Act. On behalf of our children, thank you. We know that you recognize the importance of our children. We urge you to continue in your efforts to strengthen policies that will protect our children. Another avenue of communication is with tribal compacts. These agreements allow for continued dialogue regarding the potential use of tribal gaming funds from our Indian gaming operations. The funds use is defined by compact agreements with individual tribes. Some of these funds directly benefit tribal initiatives and are returned to our surrounding communities, in addition to providing greater financial benefit to the state's general fund. An example of a benefit to both the state and tribes is the $9 million of tribal gaming funds dedicated to the Department of Transportation's advertising budget. We appreciate the dialogue, but more funding is necessary, specifically to improve the health, welfare, and safety of our tribal communities. We need a continual dialogue to get more funding back to the tribes. Our nations also consult with the governor's office on the proposed state budget. In the last budget cycle, Governor Walker included an initiative to provide tuition to any veteran that wanted to attend either of the two tribal colleges. That applies to any veteran, whether they are Indian or non-Indian. I would also like to highlight the special initiative from Wisconsin's First Lady, Tonette Walker, relating to tribal social issues. Menominee accepted the challenge of the Fostering Futures pilot program, which developed a plan that translates scientific evidence about adverse childhood experiences, trauma-informed care, and resiliency into practice. We appreciate Mrs. Walker's effort and attention to addressing the impacts of trauma on our children. They are our future. These are just some of the positive examples that have come from the cooperative relationship between our tribes and the state. In the coming year, the tribes will continue working with our partners in the state to address issues and priorities that impact our respective nations. Some of these issues relate to health, social and socioeconomic conditions, education, social justice, environmental and economic development. Now I'd like to discuss some issues and priorities. Economy of the tribes. Each of our nations, while intricate and interconnected, has a unique economy. However, one trend that you will observe when traveling to each distinct nation is the utility of land and resources. This utility often leads to economic and educational opportunities. Let me give you some examples. The Chippewa bands utilize their wild rice and walleye resources not only to provide sustenance for their people, but also use this unique opportunity to pass on tradition and cultural teachings to their youth. The Oneida tribe has a very successful farm and apple orchard, which provides sustenance through an effective food delivery system and employment for their members. The sources of economic activity for tribes is often related to treaty rights. For example, the Red Cliff tribe's spiritual and cultural connection to fishing, which arose out of necessity over 500 years ago during their migration to the sacred Madeline Island, has been passed down from generation to generation. Today, the Red Cliff also use fishing as a commercial means to provide employment and financial resources to benefit the tribe. The cornerstone of this activity has survived legal scrutiny, which upheld the Red Cliff's treaty rights to set their gill nets in Lake Superior. Today, their commercial fishery thrives, and the tribe assists in restocking the fish in Lake Superior. In addition, they also perform annual assessments and enforcement. We ask for your support in upholding our treaty rights and recognition of our sovereignty. the economic condition of one tribe is vastly different from another tribe in this state and around the country. Our tribal communities often suffer economic isolation as it relates to our rural locations, serving as a barrier to opportunity, technology, and food security, stifled further by instances of widespread poverty. Poverty and the resulting effects is a primary concern for our tribes. We have struggled for years to improve the economic lives of our members. While Indian gaming has led a few tribes out of poverty, many of our nations continue to struggle with varying degrees of poverty. The condition of the state and national economy impacts tribal economies. The response of our nations is further curtailed when tribes are faced with the added challenge of covering losses in state and federal funding. Often this results in a decreased level of service delivery for disadvantaged populations who rely upon assistance for basic needs. Some tribes, like the Red Cliff Tribal Community, have observed an increase in population. As tribal population increases, so do the needs of that community. Population increases have for many tribes correlated with the increase of those living below the poverty level. Economic conditions experienced by our tribes include high unemployment, negative health factors and outcomes, lack of economic development opportunities, and violence. For example, high rates of unemployment and a lack of job training programs on Indian reservations directly contribute, often increasing negative instances and trends in health factors, justice, social, and socioeconomic conditions. Unemployment among our tribes is staggering. For example, my tribe, Menominee, our unemployment is 16.8%. This is more than double the state and national averages. The priority of our nations is to increase employment opportunities. One important challenge that we face is providing avenues for job skills training and job experience programs that will assist our members to overcome barriers to employment and employability. The tribes have had to rely on shared resources from tribal, state, and national funding sources to provide rationed services. While current fiscal constraints at both the national and state level, the tribes experience fiscal challenges that far exceed our ability to respond and effectively prepare our members for direct impact to services. With poverty comes all the negative social side effects. Health conditions of the poor tribes continue to be a major challenge. Drug and alcohol abuse continue to plague Indian people. Teen pregnancy and school dropouts are still major problems. High incidence of violence and the influence of gangs continue to ravage our tribal communities. There are just never enough financial resources available to resolve these critical issues. Tribes across the state are also plagued by the ravaging effects of alcohol and drug abuse, including the increasing use of synthetic drugs. Tribes have observed an increase in the use of synthetic marijuana and bath salts. However, the tribes have taken a very aggressive approach to resolve this issue. An example, in 2013, the Lac du Flambeau tribe declared a state of emergency over the growing use of synthetic drugs. In an effort to combat and eradicate the use and distribution of synthetic drugs, my tribe, Menominee, took an aggressive approach through education and public participation. This approach focused on defining health and social impacts and loss of life. In addition, the tribe, working in collaboration with the United States Attorney's Office, also revised the tribe's controlled substance ordinance to strengthen existing laws and make modifications specific to the use and sale of synthetic drugs. As a result, the new drug ordinance is thorough and makes a very adaptable drug code that can effectively meet current and future drug challenges and trends. The code is one of the most advanced codes, and Menominee is one of the first tribes to undertake such an approach to drug prevention. This issue is not solely a tribal issue, but a mutual issue of concern of the tribes and the state. Substance abuse does not recognize boundaries. My next issue is going to be social justice. Social justice on Indian reservations is an issue that deserves immediate attention. In recent years, many tribes have experienced an increase in gang violence, most notably the hybrid gangs that are comprised of mostly Native Americans. These hybrid gangs are attempting to use our tribal culture as a means to recruit new members, often through tribal social networks. Our communities are combating the gang and drug issue through community-oriented policing, which includes community events for all ages. In addition, we have used successful collaborative initiatives with other police agencies and tribal departments relating to investigations involving gang and drug-related crimes. One successful initiative involves the Native American Drug and Gang Initiative. It's also known as NAGI, which is a collaboration of all our tribes and the Wisconsin Department of Justice. We work together combating gangs and drugs and have been responsible for numerous investigations and arrests over the years. This effort has been successful, and we would ask for your continued support on this ongoing initiative. The benefit of cooperative initiatives such as these provide the avenue for not only our tribes, but the state of Wisconsin to take back our communities and, by extension, our culture. Now let's talk about our health conditions. The overall health factors and outcomes experienced by tribal people is unacceptable. As you know, I am a Menominee. When looking at Wisconsin's premature death rate, I am 2.7 times more likely to die sooner than my fellow average Wisconsinites. 2.7. Why? Because we have alarmingly high rates of diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and cancer, which attributes to the high premature death rate. As tribal leaders, we push for progress and change in this area. Crisis management in healthcare is not an uncommon phenomenon in Indian country. Federal Indian Health Service funding only covers 50% of the level of need for our tribes. This forces our tribal governments to ensure funding to meet the remaining 50%. Please know that it's impossible for our tribes to adequately respond to that need. If you cannot fund your health care system, your membership cannot access the health care that they need, which escalates those underlying conditions. People come in for acute care, not preventative care. Due to the challenges presented by decreasing funding of our tribal health care systems, our tribes are forced to oftentimes ration services. We have to tell our membership, you're not sick enough yet. You have to wait a few months. This challenge elevates to a state of crisis when our facilities are overwhelmed by acute care demands, coupled with the increasing demand for services from both tribal and non-tribal patients. We need to enhance the tribal health care delivery systems for our tribes. Think for a moment of Saywin Korn, that beautiful young lady who did such a great job on the Pledge of Allegiance. She represents our future. We need to do all we can for our children. Children deserve to be healthy, and it is our job not to let that premature death rate define their future or her future. I ask you to join us in consultation and collaboration to improve the quality of health care systems for our tribes. What is representative of Menominee is representative of other nations. If this collaboration helps to improve our health factors and our health outcomes, the state's overall health factors and health outcomes also improve. Now let's talk about some social conditions. The social challenges faced by our nations continue to be influenced by symptoms of intergenerational trauma, which includes the loss of identity, culture, and language. You heard what Ron Korn said earlier. The challenges experienced by our people are directly related to and manifest from these areas. As I previously stated, cultural identity defines who we are as Native people. I would be remiss in my duties as representing my fellow colleagues if I did not also discuss the Indian mascot and logo issue and the negative social impacts this has on our tribal people, especially our young children. Recently, the legislature repealed Act 250 and replaced it with 2013 Wisconsin Act 115, which puts in place a new process for dealing with the use of race-based mascots, logos, and nicknames. Proponents of the new law will tell you that the new law is fair and equitable for school districts. Opponents to the new law will tell you that this fair and equitable standard applied for school districts actually promotes discrimination, pupil harassment, and stereotyping of our Native American culture and heritage. While the negative impacts on the collective ethnicity are considerable, we are also concerned with the damaging effects and influence that these types of activities will have on our children. In a court of law, victims of discrimination are not required to circulate a petition to garner support to prove the action occurred. Why is it that our children are not afforded the same consideration? It was our hope that we would have been able to work with legislators of both parties on finding a balanced approach. I believe there was a fairly balanced compromise offered, but it failed to get serious consideration. Our children should not be subjected to inaccurate representations of their cultural identity. The tribes would like nothing more than to become a part of the solution. Let's educate the children of all Wisconsin school districts on all aspects that distinguish our nations. Let's celebrate the nation's history, culture, and traditions, and let's encourage a stronger focus on the parameters of Wisconsin's Indian Education Act 31. As partners, our nations and the state can use this opportunity to create a strong alliance and commitment to education and celebration of our distinct backgrounds. talk about environment. Though there have been public clashes with the state on a number of high-profile natural resource issues, the goal that our nations are working toward is preservation. Our nations take very seriously our responsibility to serve as stewards of Mother Earth, her land, filled with abundant natural resources and wildlife. Preservation and a healthy environment is critical for our tribal people, not only as a belief, but for our mutual survival. Many of our reservations are in rural areas with limited access to healthy foods. Many of our tribal members cannot drive to the local grocery store to make purchases of sustenance to feed their families. Many lack transportation, while others may lack funds. The alternative, which is firmly embedded in our people, is the reliance upon the natural resources and wildlife for sustenance. This includes our ability to walk into the forest or walk to the streams to hunt and gather the fish, deer, bear, and plants. Many of our tribal members also rely on the natural springs, lakes, and rivers to collect water. These demonstrations depict why natural resources and environmental issues are of critical importance to us. The hunting or fishing trip is not a sport for us. The walk through the forest to gather plants or collect water is not just to take in the scenic beauty or to get exercise. It is our way of life. It is our culture and who we are as a people. Now, to be clear, I am no stranger to the importance of business and economic development. I have a business degree. I've managed for over 24 years. I take pride, as I am sure every tribal leader and state legislator does, in successful business initiatives. Look at the Oneida tribes, successful farming initiatives, the Chippewa tribes, successful wild rice and walleye initiatives, and my tribe, the Menominee's, successful forestry operation. We have demonstrated our expertise in managing the environmental aspects related to business initiatives. I do not like to bring up issues without also bringing forward a potential solution. The tribes would like nothing more than to work alongside the state as partners to resolve the environmental issues we all face. While we have faced serious challenges, there has also been some pretty good cooperation on other issues. I know some of the Chippewa bands have worked with the state to help ensure a sustainable walleye fishery. My tribe has partnered with the state to reintroduce sturgeon back into the Wolf River and into some of our lakes. The sturgeon is an important part of Menominee culture. We appreciate the support we have received from the administration. I accidentally got an ice cube. Though our nations have differing opinions on these issues, we want to continue to work with you, the governor, and his state agencies. It is only with the continued dialogue that a door remains open. In the end, we all live in this great state, and we all want to do what is best for our people, both those here today and those who will walk after us. There are no boundaries for environmental impacts. education. Education has been and remains a priority for each nation in Wisconsin. We recognized long ago that in order to build upon the ideals of self-determination that will sustain our people, land, resources, and nations, we have to invest in the education of our people. Most of our nations operate a primary tribal school, and the Oneida have a tribal high school as well. Funding comes from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, but there is never enough to cover the needs. Many of our children do attend local public schools, sometimes as a result of the inability to increase enrollment in our tribal schools due to a lack of funding. While the public schools provide a valuable opportunity for our children, the tribes would like to see aggressive approach from the state of public instruction to include the tribes in advancing those ideals of Act 31, while also including language and culture opportunities specifically for our tribal students who are in attendance. Secondary education is critical in the preparation of our children, not only to take the roles we now occupy, but to further their educational pursuits with post-secondary education. As we continue to invest in both secondary and post-secondary education for our tribal members, I must also point out that our tribal educational goals also include enhancing opportunities for non-Indians throughout the state. For example, every semester, more than 1,200 Wisconsin residents take academic and technical classes at a tribal college here in Wisconsin. Hundreds more Wisconsin residents use the two tribal colleges every semester as job training sites. They attend professional, business, and workforce development programs or come to the campuses to learn basic skills, prepare for GED exams, and improve their ability to get a job. The College of Menominee Nation, CMN, and Lacouture-Ray Ojibwe Community College, LCO, college credit students and adult learners come from all 11 of our tribes, but programs at these colleges are not restricted to Indian people. In fact, cumulatively, one-third of the students who are seeking academic or technical degrees at Wisconsin's two tribal colleges are non-Indian state residents. What this says about our tribes is that we are using our resources to invest in the people and the economic development of the state for both Indian and non-Indian people, and doing so in some of the most economically depressed poverty pockets in the state. Both CMN and LCO are engaged in stewardship for the future by investing our own resources in the community development that is gained by continuing education. We are investing not just in our own reservations, but in our regions and in the state as a whole. Using the College of Menominee Nation as an example, in 2011, an external consultant determined that the College of Menominee Nation has a $37 million annual economic impact on three counties in its immediate service area, Menominee, Shawano, and Brown. And in the spring of 2013, the college awarded $2 million in financial aid to students. Only $20,000, that's 1%, was from state sources. What does this mean for the future? President Verna Fowler at CMN and President Ray Burns at LCO have been developing an education funding initiative that will be advanced to the state legislature in coming months. The initiative proposes a way in which Wisconsin can assist the tribal colleges in providing education to non-Indian students through gaming compact dollars. We ask for your attention to this initiative and support for it as it moves forward. Nothing can break the cycle of poverty like education. It provides for the individual, the family, the community, and the state. Bet you thought I wasn't going to finish soon, right? In closing, I would like to once again thank our tribal nations of Wisconsin for the opportunity to represent our individual and shared goals, issues, and triumphs here today. Although each of our nations is distinct, as the leaders of these great nations, we are all tasked with the challenge of creating a better reality while ensuring a bright and sustainable future for our people. As tribal nations, we hold a common bond in the fabric of this great state. We are here to preserve and protect, acting as stewards of the land and its resources, our people, culture, and our traditions. This, I suspect, is no different for each resident of our state, including the leaders of the state of Wisconsin. While we may not always agree on every issue, initiative, or piece of legislation, we come together in the spirit of partnership for the betterment of our respective nations and desire nothing more than to work in collaboration as partners with all branches of the state of Wisconsin. We know that your legislative session will end in April. Should you wish to learn more about our great nations, you are always welcome. We would be honored to show you our homes. Wawanin, and thank you for this great opportunity.